talked about.
Hi, I'm Chuck Woolery, and I'm here to talk to you about catheters.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
My name is Kevin Beacon. For those of you who need an introduction, I am an award-winning journalist. I've won a local Emmy. But in truth, I'm just a gypsy tumbling around the globe, chasing truth, which is, as you know, quicksilver. The more you try to grasp it, the more it slips through your hands. News, because I am the face of it in Spokane, Washington, is my life, my lover, my mistress, my best friend, and I will fight to the death to defend it. And with that, I relinquish to you, Mr. Chair.
And now.
What's up? I dedicate this to my Haina Sad Girl. It's a little Always and Forever dog from Heat Wave. This goes out to you, baby. I love you. Te quiero mucho. And your fupa. I love you, honey.
Our feature presentation.
He said football, right? Your football?
Sure. Sure. I bet he did.
I love Rudy. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. It is the 23rd of January.
I bet it's not. I bet you should look at that again.
It's Wednesday, the 28th of January.
That sounds more accurate to me. Sounds closer to maybe the actual date.
Yeah.
Hey, why are you getting everybody sick with your AIDS or whatever it is you've got, your Ebola, whatever you brought into here?
It's Ebola. I don't know, dude. Everybody has it.
Lisa's out again today. I saw on line last night that our little friend Kat Corbett is sick. I don't know if she's dialed in to miss today's show or not, but I see she was having a NyQuil party last
this
night.
This is where it's good that you're a hermit and you live on you live in a bubble.
I guess
because
so.
Everybody here seems to be sick.
How much open mouth kissing is going on at K-Rock these days?
Really a lot. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I know it's wintertime, and I know people get sick in winter, but it is weird. It does seem like it's hit the station pretty hard this year.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. And I heard our friend Scott Mason, he's out now. He's sick this week. Everybody's sick. Rick in engineering, he's sick.
Excellent.
It's like the whole city's down. What up?
That's what it feels like. And what up indeed.
Exactly. Marshawn Lynch.
Best.
Is a five-time Pro Bowl player for the Seattle Seahawks. He is, for people who don't watch football, he is outstanding. He is a running back. He leads the league in running yards. He leads the league in rushing touchdowns. No one gets tackled and still runs the ball further than Marshawn Lynch does. It's incredible how many guys he drags with him to get an extra 3, 4, 5, 8 yards on a play. I've never seen anything like this guy. He also leads the league in another category, and that is the most fines of any NFL player. Now, he's not a guy who is out, beating his wife or getting arrested for drunk driving. He gets fined all the time for not talking to the media.
Now, let me ask you a question, because when that story first broke, and it was the first time this season he did it, and they fined him 50 grand from this season and 50 grand from last season.
That's right.
Since then, I thought he's been doing the same thing every week, no?
Yes, he has been doing as little as possible. He basically, every week after the game, when the NFL requires him to speak, he says the same thing. He says, yeah, or he says, I appreciate that. Or he just comes up with some 3, 4, 5 words that he'll say to answer every question. In other words, he is doing the least possible to not get fined and to fulfill the obligations of having to speak to the media. Well, yesterday was Super Bowl Media Day in Glendale, Arizona, because the Seahawks are in the Super Bowl, and Marshawn Lynch was there, and of course, you know, everybody wanted to see what was he going to do. It's the Super Bowl. Is he going to do it again?
A lot of these Seahawks, by the way, give outstanding answers. You've seen Earl Thomas. You've seen Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, always affable and smiley and spry for a guy who's in his early 60s. But everybody seems to want to focus on Marshawn Lynch, and it's probably not fair. It's just not in his personality to light up the TV screen. That's okay, too. But we'll see if he provides us with some surprising answers. So once he gets settled into the podium, we will listen in live here on NFL Network with Beast Mode.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined. So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please.
Now, the beautiful thing about the NFL Network, and in particular Super Bowl Media Day, is no one is ever mic'd.
Right.
You can never hear any of the questions.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw any of that Media Day yesterday.
I saw some of it, yeah.
But rarely do you actually get to hear the questions. It's kind of like when the president answers questions sometimes in the, you know, on the East Wing, and you don't hear the reporter, you just hear the answer. So you'll just hear some of Marshawn's answers.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
You already played that.
Another question?
I'm here so I won't get fined.
All right, that's two.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
So that's how it went for 25 questions in a row.
Said the exact same thing.
Marshawn was only required to be there for 4.5 minutes, and that's how he spent the 4.5 minutes, is he just answered that question over and over and over again. And, Kevin, you seem to support that, and I was surprised by that a little bit.
I love it.
Tell me why.
I don't know. It's just...
It's not a dick move?
Sort of, yeah, but... I don't know. It just strikes me as weird that they would fine you that much for not doing an interview when, let's be honest, sports interviews for the most part suck. Mm-hmm. Athletes for the most part just use cliches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had an interesting season, but now we just have to focus on what we're doing. Well, what about the Patriots defense? Well, you know, we have to focus on our end of it, and if we do what we can do, then you know all of the questions and all of the answers already.
But don't you think it makes it more fun for you, the sports fan, to get to know the personalities involved that are playing the game? Don't you think that the NFL benefits by having its players become stars because of how well-known they become?
Yes, and this is what Marshawn is
about. Isn't it good for the league?
And this is what Marshawn is about, and I find it funny. I find it funny that everybody takes it so seriously.
I love what... Richard Sherman said yesterday, who's one of the most articulate and outspoken of the Seahawks. He said, because, by the way, part of what happens when Marshawn won't talk is that everybody asks all the other players about Marshawn Lynch.
Right, yeah.
And Richard Sherman said, hey, I think it's fine what Marshawn is doing. I think that it's ridiculous that they make us speak to the media every week. But I additionally think that the NFL executives should be forced to speak to the media every week because we get a lot of questions for them. Because he has often called out the hypocrisy of the NFL. I mean, that's his thing. I mean, no one criticizes the NFL more than Richard Sherman does. So he always gives good interview. But I don't know. It just seems like a little bit of – it seems like a dick move.
It is a dick move.
I don't think it's asking that much for you a few days before the Super Bowl to answer 4 minutes of questions from the press around the world.
Yeah, I don't either, and that's why it's a dick move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how hard can it be to say, you know, we hope to get our offense going or whatever cliche he's going to say.
Right.
But having said that, he really, really doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. So you think that you should just be able to opt out? I mean, how many players would talk to the media if the NFL gave them the option of opting out?
That's the problem, is we would get no interviews, which, by the way, is about 5% worse than getting all interviews. I just think they're worthless. Maybe the coach. The coach and key players maybe each – or so, I don't know. Maybe rotate it. I don't know. It just seems ridiculous.
A lot of times I think – yeah, what's the damage if there's one less talking head at the Super Bowl? But then I also think, is it fair to everybody else to make them do it if Marshawn doesn't have to do it? So I'm a little bit conflicted on it. I feel like it's not asking him that much. But at least it's the spirit of the law, but he certainly isn't being interviewed.
No, you know? Not at all.
So I guess they can't fine him for that. By the way, just one more note for people who don't care about the interview portion. And let's remember that Marshawn has also been fined twice in the last 2 months for grabbing his crotch after a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's his move.
Yeah, you can bet on that now.
Yes, you can. And they have warned him that not only will he be fined again if he does it at the Super Bowl in the event he gets a touchdown, but that it's going to cost the Seahawks 15 yards, too. So they're really turning the screws on him to make sure that he doesn't do it again.
Is that why he's doing this? Do you think he's doing this because the NFL has sort of singled him out?
I don't know.
Maybe rightfully so at the beginning, but...
I don't know. I mean, I think he just is uncomfortable and doesn't think it's fair that they should ask him to do something that he doesn't consider to be part of his job, although in the modern media era, it kind of is part of his job.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But that was yesterday. That was 25 times in a row. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I love it. And then he just looks around and waits for the next question. Just knowing that he's not going to give an answer.
Would you ever be dumb enough to be one of the people who asked
the next question? I would stay there all day if I could, yeah. Because
how many times
in a row will he say this. I love that. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeat Show.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Right, I got it. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Jeff Garlin in the studio, who we love. He's from the Goldbergs.
Oh, I love him so much.
From the Goldbergs, and he's got a documentary out called Finding Vivian Maier, which is fascinating, about a woman who took many thousands of photographs that are considered art and just never showed them to a soul before she died. Weird. It's a weird, weird story. Gillian Jacobs will be here from Community, of course. She also has a movie called Queens of Code, which is about girls writing computer code.
That's going to be a short movie.
I want to say.
I'm going to get that out of my system now before she gets here.
Bean's Death Corner on the program today, and I believe we might check in again with Bill Belichick about Deflategate and everything else that seems to be going on. We also got a tweet yesterday from a fan who says that whatever we did yesterday, what was it that she hated?
Bachelor Report
is the second worst thing on our show. And so, of course, to us, we go, awesome. What's number one?
I hope everything else isn't tied for number one.
Yeah, good point. So we all have our guesses, and we're going to find out exactly what is the worst part of our show. I have a guess that I think it is, but I love it as well, so I don't really know where to go with that. All right, so that's coming up this morning. Your chance to win tickets to see U2 at their fifth show, January 3rd at the Forum, and you qualified for a trip for two to see them in Barcelona, Spain. Also this morning, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:57.
Ralph Garman steps in.
Boom!
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Boom goes the dynamite!
I've heard that.
I miss that guy.
Yeah, I do too.
The boom goes the dynamite guy.
Is Robin Williams haunting someone? National Enquirer reports that Dana Carvey claims Robin Williams has been coming to him in his dreams and meditations.
If Robin Williams is going to visit anybody on Earth, it's going to be Dana Carvey.
I don't know. That's weird.
Maybe it's Satan?
He said Robin's been coming to him, telling him that life is happy and that it's all beautiful at the end, man. So, peace.
Let me
Kumbaya.
Ask you guys this question. If Robin Williams did visit you and tell you those things, would you tell anybody?
Yeah, that is always my first thought, which is, why would you open your mouth? I don't know that I would say anything.
If Robin Williams is coming to me and telling me about the afterlife, yeah, I'm telling people.
Right, you know people are going to think you're crazy.
Well, look, so be it.
Oh, heaven is wonderful. Oh, you enjoy it? Oh.
But shut up! He knows what he's talking about.
I don't know what he's saying.
There's a whole routine in your head. It'd be awesome.
I would just assume that I was losing my mind and that it was some sort of brain damage.
Well,
and it couldn't
possibly
be real.
It's obvious that's what it would be. But I don't know if you're Dana Carvey.
Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
Dana Carvey was one of the biggest stars in the world at one point.
He sure was.
He sure was. Speaking of biggest stars in the world, Miley Cyrus, I don't know if you heard about this or not, but it's big, big news. She has released pictures of herself topless. Oh, wait a minute. That's not news. She's got pictures of herself in the Hawaiian surf with her boyfriend, Patrick Schwarzenegger, and she's topless. For now, I'm just gonna report when she's dressed in photographs.
When she's not topless.
So much easier. And that
she's
would
very fun. Comfortable with her body.
Yes, I am not so comfortable with it. I wish she would cover it up.
Well,
more.
When she matures and turns into a woman, maybe we'll be interested.
Boom! There you go.
Thank you.
Suck on that, Miley Cyrus.
That's right.
How do you feel now? Sad. Yeah. And Katie Holmes has been added to the cast of one of my favorite television programs, Showtime's Ray Donovan.
Oh, really? Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes. She's going to play a shrewd, chic businesswoman named Paige, who enlists Ray's services, apparently. And I wouldn't recommend getting involved in Ray Donovan.
Yeah, it seems
bad things tend to happen.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of her as an actress, Ralph?
I think when she's cast correctly, she can be very effective.
I agree.
I don't think she has a ton of range, but I think she can be really effective when she's in the right part.
Is that true of most actors and actresses?
Or no? I suppose, yeah, most. Yeah. It's the rare actor that can play all different kinds of roles, all different types of people and stuff. Usually there's a kind of role that most actors are best suited for. Yeah.
Then there are some who actually are better than... You could see a terrible movie and go, that guy was great.
Yeah, there's some actors that are never bad.
Yeah.
My example I often use is the now-retired Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman was one of those guys who played all different kinds of roles. And even in the worst of his films, and he made some horrible choices, he was always terrific in them. And yeah. There's a handful of actors like that. Usually they're character actors. Very few stars. Stars usually find whatever genre they seem to excel at and kind of stick with it. That's why when people try to slap around Johnny Depp in the press, I say, I can't ever fault a guy like him who does so many different things and tries so many different things.
Yeah, he's sure out there on a limb.
And he seems to be having a great time as he's doing it. So I don't see anything wrong with all the wacky roles and stuff he plays. Seems like he's really enjoying himself.
But the audiences aren't.
Yeah, but most movies aren't hits, you know?
He's had an extraordinary bad run, though.
Not really. Not extraordinary. Just
it is.
Standard.
Six or seven in a row, though, that have just been just total dogs. Like, just bad, bad projects.
Yeah, but that's not on him.
Well, he chooses those movies, though.
Yeah, but you don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, but he can read a script. I'm sure he's got some sort of ability to tell whether something's going to be good or not based on his long career, doesn't he?
No, you don't. When you make a film, you go in there with the best intentions, and everyone thinks that the product is good. And like this Mordecai was based on a very popular series of books. It seemed like a no-brainer. You know, it seemed like a story that people were going to respond to. And they just don't. You don't know going in. You do something because it interests you and you think it's got potential. And then the outcome is largely out of your control. It's kind of a crapshoot.
I don't mind movies that aren't popular. They can still be great. I'm just saying these movies aren't great. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad he's having a good time. But the rest of us miss seeing him in movies that we want to enjoy.
Did you not enjoy all those movies you went to see?
The parts I've seen of them and what I've read about them, yeah, I have not enjoyed it at all.
Saw some stills, did you, in those films?
I saw Lone Ranger. I think I'm the only one that liked it.
I loved Lone Ranger.
You did?
I had a blast watching Lone Rangers.
I have a buddy.
Yeah. I think it's very popular now to take swipes at Johnny Depp. I think that's just part of the phenomenon. Today's celebrity birthday is today Ariel Winter from Modern Family. She's 17 years old today. Elijah Wood turns 34. Joey Fatone Jr., singer and TV host, he is 38. Rapper Rick Ross is 39. Sarah McLachlan, she's singing about sad puppies somewhere right now. She is 47 years old today. And actor Alan Alda turns 79. He's so good on The Blacklist.
Yeah, he is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The delightful Britta from Community, actress Gillian Jacobs, joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show and Jeff Garlin at 8 o'clock as well. Plus Adam Carolla coming up. Got an all-new Bean's Death Corner on the way, too. But first, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro line? It's been a while since we've checked in with 323-520-AFRO. This is our 24-hour voicemail. You call us. Leave a voicemail message for us on any topic. We play it back on the air.
We don't normally take requests for the show, but I think this one's good.
Hey, can you guys do that thing where Bean's kind of quirky and says weird stuff, and then Kevin acts kind of dopey and stupid, and then Ralph's really pissed off? Can you guys do that thing? Yeah, that thing.
I think we've done all of those things for you already today, sir.
Kevin, Bean,
what?
My beer mug won't come out.
What's going on?
They're not
going
to like that one.
Don't be so self-critical.
I support it, sir. I hate it when your beer mug gets stuck inside you.
They're not going to like that one.
Hey, Bean, yes. How's your butt doing? Oh. Hey, Lisa May, how's your butt doing?
Hey.
Yeah. I'm buzz.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Is ever sexy? Ever. Or is it just comedy?
I think it's just comedy.
It has to be just comedy.
Maybe it works on Lisa. I don't know.
Hey, Lisa. Still thinking about you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm finished.
Wow. All right, thanks for calling back.
Lisa's going to be glad she was out sick today and missed all this.
Beat is obsessed with planes that go down. He needs all the information. Whatever information is provided is not enough. And he goes on a search.
Hey, Bean, how's your boner for those planes that disappeared in the ocean? You know, they found those AirAsia flight recorders. Why don't you go downstairs to that secret mini fridge and get yourself some of that cold chocolate milk? Oh, yeah, drink some of that cold milk, Bean. Oh, in 2 weeks, they're going to have all that flight recorder data. Oh, you're going to know all the facts. Pour some of that leftover milk on your chest, Bean. Oh, it's so sour.
What's happening there?
Bad things.
I was with him until it got sour.
Tom DeLong? Question mark?
Yeah, it's Tom DeLong, yeah, and I quit Blink-182. Yeah, I just called up Mark and Travis, and I said I quit. And then the stars aligned, and I was in the cosmos. And the rings of Saturn are in space with a lot of space dust. Wish I had a dustbuster. Oh, yeah, in my room alone. So sad and suck, and I quit the band. Suck my...
That answers a lot of my questions about what went wrong with Blink-182.
Yeah. The King of Mexico called the Afro line.
Okay.
Odd, considering we talk to him every day and he has our phone numbers and our emails. And he texts us all the time. But he called the Afro line.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Schneemave. What a night for the L.A. Clippers. Blake Griffin gets... What a night for the L.A. Clippers. Blake Griffin is What a night for the L.A. Clippers. Blake Griffin is... What a night for the L.A. Clippers. Blake Griffin is voted onto the...
I feel like he thinks we're going to edit that out.
What a night for the L.A. Clippers. Blake Griffin is voted as a starter for the NBA All-Star team. Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is Schmave.
All right.
What a great night for the L.A. Clippers.
Right, said that.
Blake Griffin is nominated as an All-Star.
Right. Yeah.
Blake Griffin is nominated as a starter on the All-Star game. So let's hear a little, I'm in love with the Clippers. Nope.
They're not going to like that.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's Dave, the King of Mexico. You know.
Hey, what happened to Schmave? Come on, man. Stick with your craft.
Oh, you guys are playing my Clippers song way too much. And, you know, they're only 6-2 since I played it. So, how about giving it a little spin, huh? Because Clipper Nation, be relentless. Yeah.
Yeah, Dave did a song for the Clippers. He does one roughly every 1 out of 3 years. And
That's what that last 5 minutes was about, was just him requesting his Clippers song?
Yes, Bean.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he's taking full credit for the fact that they've gone on a tear since he put the song out.
Sure,
because
we all know they sucked before Dave made this song.
I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. The balling down at Staples. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. The balling down at Staples.
Ball up.
I'm in love with the Clip Show, Clip Show, Clip Show. Bomber, he's our owner. He's a little loco. CP3, he's our leader. DJ brings that defense. Crawford with a three-pointer.
You think this is why they're winning?
Lawler yelling bingo.
They're winning despite this song.
Blake Griffin with the nasty dunk. 114 cheering, that's what's up. Be relentless, gotta be relentless. Be relentless, gotta be relentless. Dribble, pass, shoot it, Clippers. We're gonna win the West, Clippers. I'm in love with the Clip Show. Clip,
I got a question.
I'm in love with the Clip Show.
Yes. You heard how many times it took Dave to leave a simple voicemail message.
Uh-huh.
How many days must it have taken him to record this song?
I'm guessing Omar just got one take and looped it.
One take, show, baby.
The balling down at Staples. I'm in love with the Clip Show. Clip Show.
All right, big finale.
That's right, Kevin. You can suck it. The Clipper Nation is rising up. This season, we are bringing home Larry. You know why? Because we're hardcore.
Yeah.
Our owner is hardcore. Our team is hardcore. I am hardcore. King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan, we out, Clipper Nation. Booyah.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
Last hour, we talked a little bit about Super Bowl Media Day down there in Glendale, Arizona, and the hilarious Marshawn Lynch press conference. I don't know if you saw Coach Belichick from the New England Patriots, but his press conference was also hilarious, Kevin.
Well, he's always good as well.
Yeah.
He's surly. He's mean. Yep. He looks like a homeless guy.
He looks like a homeless guy.
You know, a homeless guy would look at him and go, come on, bro. Step it up.
He, look, at a minimum, I know we always make fun of his sleeveless hoodies and everything. At a minimum, shoes, right? He shows up in flip-flops yesterday to meet the media.
I got to tell you, as being the former worst-dressed person in the world, I'm very happy that Bill Belichick exists.
Yeah.
Because he's the one person that I can point to and go, look at him.
I will say this, though. As many times as he has given press conference where he has just seemed miserable and surly and dismissive of the questions and couldn't wait to get off the podium, he did give it a full 60 minutes last night. He was there, or yesterday afternoon, rather. He was there for the whole hour answering questions on a wide variety of topics, including his friendship with Jon Bon Jovi. That came up at one point in the press conference. But we thought, let's get the coach back on the line and see how he's doing here today, just a few days out from yet another Super Bowl appearance with the Patriots. Hi, Coach. How are you, man?
Good.
You have a good time at Media Day yesterday? There was quite a few people there wanted to talk to you.
You spent an hour. I'm a little surprised you stayed that long.
Well, it's how long the questions lasted.
A lot of people were surprised to hear that you are friends with Jon Bon Jovi and have been for 25 years. Can you tell us a little bit about that, sir?
Sure.
On this call.
Oh. Oh, I am. I'm a cowboy. I'm a steel horse I ride.
All right, well.
Dead or alive.
Dead or alive. All right, you got something in common there. Yeah. What about the flip-flops? What about that choice?
Comfortable.
I admire it. I like that choice.
All right.
I mean, it's a terrible one for you, but I love it. Are you happy?
Warm weather, Arizona.
Right. Are you happy that Media Day is over so now you don't have to talk about inflated or deflated footballs before the game?
Yeah, it's good to get back to the game. What's important?
Wow, sounds like a pretty spirited practice going on down there.
Yeah, it is.
What just happened?
What's that?
Is that a thunderstorm? What's happening, Coach?
Coach, we can't tell. I gotta be honest.
Sounds like a blast of white noise.
The guy you're working with isn't doing a very good job.
Doesn't sound like air coming out of anything.
Huh? It really doesn't.
No. Oh, is that what it's supposed to be? Is air coming out of a football? I see. Okay.
Hey, you're not deflating footballs now, are you?
No, it's a thunderstorm. That big Belichick thunderstorm story we've been covering.
Well, I don't know. Who's your assistant there at practice?
One of our ball boys named Omar.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah,
fire him.
All right. I don't think maybe you should be deflating the balls because I think they're pretty much going to be keeping a close eye on them Sunday.
Is that a dolphin?
Why do you have a dolphin at practice, Coach Belichick?
Are you changing tires? What is that noise?
You're letting air out of a balloon now? Coach?
That's,
they're going to be too flat to play with here soon.
Tom's going to like that one.
Hey, keep listening for KROQ's World Tour 2015 Destination Number 3. It is U2 in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona!
Yes, that's right, Barcelona. You can listen this morning at 9 o'clock for your chance to win tickets to see U2 at the Forum and also get on the standby board and list to see them in Spain. That is a pretty sweet deal right there. Details at KROQ.com.
Bean's a weird dude. He loves it when people die.
I like it when people die in an interesting way. I hate it when people die. But if you're going to go, I say go big, and that's why it's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Love death.
As an example, Kevin, April Rollison, 31 years old, died a week after she was taken to the hospital to have a glass pipe and a bottle of crack cocaine removed from her vagina.
Yeah!
see if we can guess what state this death occurred. Oh, you know what? It was Florida. What are the chances? It was in Sebring, Florida. She was arrested with three men on drug charges on December the 16th. She was taken to Polk County Jail's booking room, where a body scan alerted deputies that a pipe and a prescription bottle containing 2 grams of crack cocaine and cocaine powder was inside her vagina. She asked to go to the toilet. She was given a bedpan, and a deputy went behind a curtain to give her privacy. Well, the woman removed the prescription bottle of crack cocaine and cocaine from her vagina and consumed it.
Oh, my God.
Yes. She wanted to get rid of all the evidence, or she felt like she was going in, so this is my last chance
did
to do a lot of drugs.
Did she chew up the pipe?
She didn't say that. Medical staff did remove the glass pipe. The woman was cleared, was sent back to jail. However, she became violently ill, I don't know, from all the drugs, was taken back to the medical center in critical condition and died. Apparently, it seems like the crack cocaine was ingested through her stomach or some other way. Something went wrong. She'd been a drug user for over 20 years, but apparently it was just too much at one time. Man, one minute you're just having bottles removed from your vagina, the next minute you're dead. The world is a wacky place.
It's happened to all of us.
It sure has. Here's a bizarre story. I guess this is the thinning of the herd you always talk about. Like, we're not going to miss 29-year-old Jacques van der Sant. He works at a golf course. His dad owns the golf course in South Africa. It's at a place called Lake Panic, by the way, and it has water features, as all golf courses do. Well, the difference with the water features in South Africa is that there are crocodiles in the water features.
Man.
So he and his friend are saying, hey, I'll bet you I can go in and collect more golf balls than you can.
Before being attacked?
See how many you can go into the water and collect. Yes. And what happened was he went in and tried to collect as many golf bottles as he could. He was in the golf balls as he could. He was in the water a little bit too long when a crocodile nicked him, and he died on the scene.
Yep. Good riddance.
You're saying we're going to be fine without him. He was never going to make any great contributions to the world.
Correct. He's not a great artist. He's not going to cure cancer.
Here's a sad, sad story. I hate it when 21-year-old 6 feet women die because they're very hard to find.
I knew it was hot as soon as you said.
She is a Western Pennsylvania University student and basketball player, 21 years old. Very tragic, very sad. She passed away in her sleep. How did she do it? She fell asleep while chewing gum and apparently aspirated.
Choked on gum?
Have you ever done that, by the way, fallen asleep chewing gum? I have. I've done that.
I don't think so.
I'm not sure what maybe we'll ask Dr. Drew. I'm not sure what the specifics are of how something like this, but it says she aspirated the chewing gum while sleeping. It doesn't say that she choked on it. It says she aspirated it while sleeping. So I don't know what that has to – I don't know how something like that works. But, man, you think somebody like that who's that young and that healthy, you'd be surprised that something like that could kill you. But, man, that's a terrible way to go. Here's a story of a guy who died. He's 44 years old, Keith Martin. He lives in London, England. I guess we can't be too surprised that he died. He had pneumonia. That's what killed him. He had been battling an eating disorder for some time. He was the fattest man in the world.
Yay!
980 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Is how much he weighed. He had consumed 20,000 calories a day. He would have six eggs fried for breakfast and lunches and dinner with pizza and kebabs and takeout food and Big Macs. He drank 3.5 liters of coffee and 2 liters of carbonated drinks every day. He had emotional issues and turned to food for comfort. At one point, he had a gastric sleeve operation that removed 3/4 of his stomach, lost a lot of weight at that time, gained all of it back, was bound to his bed for 8 months before he died. 980 pounds, by the way.
Wow, that's
rough. That's even hard. I mean, Muggs is like 200 pounds away from that. I can't even imagine how something like this
would
happen.
That's crazy.
So I guess, like I say, we're not surprised. And everybody who always gets bummed out when they hear the death corner, and I do hear from you in the email or on social media, you're like, man, that feature just bums me out with all these people
dying.
It is
sort of a bummer because it's all negative.
Can I leave you with, granted, it does involve two people dying, but can I say that if you've got to go, maybe this is a pretty good way to go. Here's a devoted couple in England, Harry and Mavis Stevenson. They had been together for 65 years. She had been having some health problems. By the way, Mavis was 89 years old, her husband 88. He was in good health, but he moved in with her when she developed health problems, and he was living with her in a nursing home in the St. Werburgh's House Care Home in Derby. She had fallen ill. He did not want to be away from her. She passed away, and 10 minutes later, he also died at her side. Now, look, it's sad when people die, but 65 years together.
That's crazy.
They die basically holding hands 10 minutes apart. If you're going to die, that's not a terrible way to go, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't really have that category, but I guess. I thought you were going to say they were having sex or something better.
No, I mean, but he just, he couldn't go on. Yeah. I mean, it's just so sweet. It's just the, it's the power of love is what it is. You have no heart, Kevin. So I'm trying to leave on an upbeat note, but this has been this week's edition of Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
There's a lot of competition for what is the worst thing on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show during the morning, right?
Oh, sure.
We're going to find out what one listener thinks coming up right after the top of the hour. Plus, actress Gillian Jacobs is going to be here, too. Jeff Garland later on in the show as well. And Adam Carolla. Right now, Ralph, it's your time for the show.
Years. Well, now they have to pull their Super Bowl ad because of outrage. Ugh. Guess from whom?
Parents Television Council.
No, the next most annoying group, PETA and the animal lovers. In a very funny commercial that spoofs all of those commercials that Budweiser likes to do and many other companies where they have some little animal protagonist that overcomes great odds.
Cute little animal.
They've got a commercial called Lost Dog where a puppy falls out of a truck, then overcomes all odds to find its way back home to its farm where its owners live. It goes over train tracks and through mud and has to sleep under a bridge, and he finally gets home back to the farm, and the farmers are so happy to see him. They say, oh, thank God you're back, because we just sold you on our new website we built with GoDaddy.com, and somebody comes and takes the puppy in a truck and takes it away. They sold the puppy. It's very funny. And The pet parents, the animal people, are insane over it, saying the commercial supports puppy mills and other inhumane breeding practices.
Yeah.
PETA says anyone who sells a dog online is a callous jerk.
Let me ask you a question.
Missing the whole point of the commercial.
Do you get the feeling that some of these companies, GoDaddy being one of them, just puts out ads that they know are not going to run because that gets them a ton of exposure and then they don't have to run them?
I guess. I mean, they still bought the $4 million 30 seconds. They're going to put something in there. Maybe they'll put an apology in there. I don't know. But they won't be running this commercial because of the outrage.
I'd just hate to see them go away from boobs.
I know.
It seems like a bad move.
Seemed to work for them before.
Speaking of boobs, by the way, we're firing Dave the King of Mexico if we don't get to talk to Charlotte McKinney, right? The model in the Carl's Jr. Super Bowl ad that we've been asking for every day this week. She should be on our show, right?
Right, but take it easy.
Easy there, boobs. My fear is, who knows what she sounds like? Does she have anything to say? This is radio.
I understand that. I'm fine with however she sounds.
I think you're so blinded by the fact that she has boobs and you haven't touched any in a long time that you're willing to have her on at the detriment of the program, which really at this point we cannot afford.
Nah. I think it would be fascinating to talk to her about her experiences.
Yes, and what she's learned.
Right. Wonder how many satellite dishes she owns.
Dave, where's model Charlotte McKinney from the Carl's Jr. Super Bowl ad?
Yeah, Dave, don't worry about that. Maybe get on some other projects that are more pressing.
Oh, but if it's the AT&T phone
girl.
Yeah,
they're
all in. Oh, her you love,
right? You know why? Because she speaks and obviously has a sense of humor and is able to be funny.
Don't come down on Charlotte like that, man. You don't know.
And nor do you. That's the problem. It's a big crapshoot.
She is. This year's Kate Upton, and I support her.
I sense she's pretty well-spoken.
Do you,
that's
Kevin?
My sense. I think so, too.
And yeah. She's a Mensa
member? She looks
smart.
She looks smart to me.
I'm with Bean, yeah.
At what point does she look smart, do you think?
The part where she's walking through the commercial with her top off. That's the part.
I don't know. I didn't see her face.
You're so sad. Both
just saying, with the Super Bowl coming up, it seems like it's the responsible thing to do is to interview her.
Yeah, it is the responsible thing to do. It's what's keeping America safe.
That's what people come to us for, Ralph. Responsible journalism.
Bad interviews with girls with big boobs.
That too, sometimes.
Disney, according to Deadline.com, is looking to reboot the Indiana Jones franchise. They bought the rights to the franchise from Paramount in 2013. And now they want to make good on that acquisition by rebooting or remaking Indiana Jones. The problem is, who do you get to play the iconic character that was made so famous by Harrison Ford? Well, Deadline.com is reporting that things are very early, but they have had start negotiations with... You want to guess, Kevin?
I'm
sure Bean already knows because he sees everything first.
I don't have a guess.
I have to recuse myself.
You already know.
Chris Pratt.
I like that guy. There's one guy who could do it. I like that line.
The guy with the action adventure chops, as we saw in Guardians, and then has the sense of humor to pull off.
I like that a lot.
The tongue in cheek aspect of it.
That's perfect.
It is kind of perfect.
Wow.
So I hope that happens. Sure. I'm not a big remake reboot guy, but I think that would be something I'd like to see. And speaking of reboots, remakes, I don't think we really need to see. They're still talking about that Ghostbusters, all-female Ghostbusters remake. Director Paul Feig, who did Bridesmaids, tweeted a picture yesterday of four actresses that apparently he's in talks with to star in the all-female Ghostbusters movie.
Now, why are you kind of down on this, Ralph?
Because I think with the talent that they have signed up for this, or if these are indeed the four women they want to use, come up with a new film. Write them something funny and original for four women. Make their own mark in a really funny female comedy would be much more better use of everyone's time and energy than to redo a Ghostbusters with women, which smacks sort of like a gimmick.
It's a gimmick, yeah. I would not be interested in that. Whether it was women,
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Old guys, whatever the gimmick is.
Right. I don't want to see all black Ghostbusters. I don't want to see all old Ghostbusters. I don't want to see dwarf Ghostbusters.
Well.
Oh, the dwarf Ghostbusters would be pretty cool.
I would like to see
that. I'd rather see Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live. I'd rather see those four women in a brand new film that stands on its own and it is sort of makes an impact than I'd see them do a rehash Ghostbusters.
That's how I feel about that. That's a good cast.
It is a good cast, and I hate to see them sort of wasted on a Ghostbusters rehash. But it looks like those are the women who are going to be in Ghostbusters. So there you go. Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Alda, 79 years old today. Singer Sarah McLachlan is 47. Rick Ross turns 39. Joey Fatone Jr. turns 38. Elijah Wood is 34. Rapper J. Cole turns 30. Actor Will Poulter from Maze Runner. He was also in We're the Millers. He was very funny in that. 22 years old today. And actress Ariel Winter. You know her from Modern Family. She's 17 years old today.
Wrong bell, Bean.
Oh, really? Oh,
17 years old.
Sorry.
There you go.
I was thinking she was the other one. Sorry.
She has big boobs. Can we talk to her on the show, too? I'm Bean.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actress Gillian Jacobs from Community joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, looking ahead toward this week, our friend Harley from Epic Meal Times is going to be on the program with us tomorrow. Jim Rome tomorrow. Rainn Wilson tomorrow. Eric Stone Street from Modern Family on Friday. Mark and Jay Duplass from Everything also on Friday. So a lot of great stuff coming up this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate you listening.
All right. Yesterday we got a tweet, and it fascinated me because this is the tweet to the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, we tweeted, it's time for our most popular segment, The Bachelor Report, with Ralph Garman and Petros.
Said ironically.
Said ironically, yes. And then Nina wrote back, this is the second worst thing on Kevin and Bean. And so I looked at it for a second and I thought, well, we have to know what's number one, right? I mean, you say this is the second worst, you're really only leaving one thing out that's super offensive, that's worse than The Bachelor to this person.
Or is it the rest of the show?
That was my fear, is it actually The Bachelor Report is the best thing ever because everything else is worst. Like, that's the only thing she can tolerate.
But it says second worst thing. You think she's lumping in everything in number one?
I hope that's not the case.
Specific.
I'm guessing it's a, I don't know if it's a regular feature maybe that we do. We do Death Corner. We do What's Up with Florida.
Yeah, it's got to be a regular feature, obviously.
Okay.
So in other words, there's something that comes up from time to time on the Kevin and Bean Show, and that is her button push. That's when she goes, okay, guys, love you, but I'm out for now.
It wouldn't be a one-off because she wouldn't expect that to be back again. So I don't think it would be like.
That's true.
You know.
Second worst feature. On the show. Everybody loves showbiz. Not that.
Not everybody. Trust me. Not everybody.
News.
No. News is sort of innocuous. It's over pretty quickly.
I have a guess.
All right.
I have a guess.
Bean, you have a guess?
I do. Right. And it involves Costa Mesa Nissan.
Costa Mesa Nissan.
Well, like commercials, I don't think really count.
That's a regular. I mean, that's something that you hear regularly on the Kevin and Bean Show. That I can see as great as they are, and the only place I would go to buy a Nissan. Don't get me wrong here.
They just need a new spokesman.
I can see how the spokesperson might be holding them back there. So maybe that's what she's talking
about. Okay, but I would guess with Ralph that if she says a regular segment on the show.
You think it's something outside of commercial.
We'll take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. There's so much to hate.
Yeah.
What's the worst?
What's the worst thing we do?
We really do a lot of bad.
And by the way, we do have the answer to this. We are going to find out because David King of Mexico traded messages with her yesterday and found out what she considers to be the worst. So what's your guess, Kevin?
My guess is one of my favorite segments on the show is her worst. And that is Sam the Armenian Comedian.
Well, she would be justified in hating that.
Because we have him on a lot, not regularly, but a lot. And
probably about once every, what, 2 months maybe we have him on?
And
yeah.
Some people, I would say most people hate him.
That's a good one.
But I love him.
That's a good one.
I hope it's that. I hope it's not one of us. What would you guess, Dave? Oh, you know, never mind. Chip, what would you guess?
Who do you think, Chip?
My guess was Beer Mug's red carpet interviews.
Oh, those are genius.
Those are magical. If she's thinking that she's just wrong.
But I can see how those would be really uncomfortable for somebody, though. Like, we do hear from people who just, it's so cringeworthy that they can't listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they just can't. They're too embarrassed for Muggs and for the person who's being interviewed. So
that's
not a terrible guess.
That's why I think Thanks for That Tweet Bean might be up there.
Oh.
But see, yeah, well, maybe.
Because Bean's tweets are so bad. Nothing, you know, no matter how much whipped cream and cherries you put on that dessert, it's still a poop sundae.
Right, but we don't present the poop sundae as a poop sundae.
But the poop's still in the sundae.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You put the caramel syrup on it, the whipped cream and the cherry on top, and you try to make it look appetizing by making fun of it, but at the base of it is still Bean's tweets. It's still based in poop.
But couldn't it also be this person, Nina, loves my tweet so much that it's painful for her to hear how wrong you guys are when you bag
on them? Is that your guess?
No, I've already guessed. I'm just interpreting. All right, let's go to Eddie. He's on line one. He's in L.A. He's got a guess. We're trying to figure out what Nina thinks is the worst thing on the Kevin and Bean show if the Bachelor Report is the second worst. Nina, what do you Eddie, what do you think it might be?
All right, well, good morning, everyone.
Hi, Eddie.
My thing is, one, the commercial you just played.
Sure.
The Costa Mesa. And the second one is those Mercedes commercials. You guys have got to get rid of those.
Oh, Cat's Mom?
So annoying. I turn off the radio every time I hear them.
Mercedes, by the way.
That was great.
Mercedes, fantastic company.
Cat's Mom's ones were the only ones that were listenable. It's the rest of them that are unbelievably horrible.
But I'm going to guess again that
my car won't let me lock my coat in my trunk. That's how good it is. That's why I love Mercedes, because I can't lock my keys in my trunk. Isn't that great? I'm going to a festival. I've got VIP parking.
Let's go.
I have no idea what that means.
Let's go to Dave and ask.
Seat warmers, and they have red seat belts.
Let's go to Dave and ask him if it involves a commercial in any way, or is it a feature of the Kevin and Bean show that's not a commercial?
It is not a commercial.
Okay.
Not a commercial.
All right.
Because a lot of people are also calling about the Armenian Comedian, can you tell us whether that's it or not?
It is not the Armenian Comedian.
Okay. All right. So Jose,
eight to go.
How does she hear the Armenian Comedian and I go, that's horrible?
All right. Let's go
to
Suzanne.
But she's saying it's not the worst. Of all the bad things, it's not the worst.
Let's try Suzanne. She's also in Los Angeles. She's on line five, please.
All right. Suzanne, lot to hate here. Lot to hate.
There's a lot to hate on the show. A
lot of bad stuff.
And by the way, you're not wrong. Whatever your guess is, you're not wrong. It's terrible. We're just trying to determine the worst. All right. What's your choice?
I think it's the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yes,
no,
me too, Suzanne.
Please.
You're right. It's the worst.
Please.
It's the worst.
That's
it's the
awesome.
Dumbest. It's God the worst.
Because we call and then
it's
we
God
talk
awful. You're right.
To the animal.
But, Suzanne, when we talk to, we read about a penguin that gets hired.
You can't be wrong.
Yeah,
but
she's
when we read about a penguin that gets hired or something, and then we call and we talk to the penguin and he's high, how is that not funny?
Oh, Suzanne, you're so right.
Even the poor penguin can't get through the sentence.
Yeah,
you're right. Often the penguin can't get through it.
That's
without,
true.
Without
all right,
self-loathing.
Thank you for the call, my dear. Let's go to line seven.
Dave,
please.
Is it the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
Suzanne, it is not the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Well,
so
you,
I'm wrong with the Armenian Comedian. Bean's wrong with his guess.
Was it Thanks for That Tweet Bean?
It was not Thanks for That Tweet Bean.
Let's go to Robert and Whittier. He's on line seven.
Man, how do you choose out of all the stuff?
Ooh, Robert's got a good one. This might be it.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning. I'd have to say my least favorite is Omaroki.
Oh, that's a good one.
You go to hell, sir.
Yes, that's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
You hang up on yourself.
Because that hurts. It's not it?
No, it's not it.
What?
Wow. That's my favorite, by the way.
Robert had a point.
What are, we missing, you guys? What are we missing that we do? Dave, can you give us a hint at all? Is it something that we do fairly regularly? It's like a staple of the show?
It's a recurring segment.
Recurring segment on the show. Ooh, what could it be? What could it be?
And she hates it more than she hates The Bachelor Report.
Is it?
I'm in love with the Clip Show.
It should be. No.
Well, actually, that's her favorite.
No.
Oddly enough.
She didn't tell us
her favorite. That's what it says right here.
She just
said Bachelor
Report.
Your song is awesome.
Bachelor Report is second worst.
Yeah.
And none of us are right so far.
No.
I know.
Kevin's got it.
Sports. We talked to UFC or something. She just hates sports.
She's a girl. Maybe she hates all sports interviews. Sports. Sports.
It is not sports.
Amalia writes in. She says, the worst segment is the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, mostly because I hate Dave the King of Mexico. Ugh, he's annoying.
Wow.
Okay.
Another good guess.
But no.
Also no.
No.
All right. Let's try. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Fountain Valley Line 1. This is a pretty good guess, something we haven't thought of, you guys.
Oh, yes. Ryan.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, it's your guys' stinking vomiting noises.
Oh, the volcano?
The volcano.
Oh, the volcano is brilliant.
That's always funny.
Yes, farting and throwing up, always funny.
Ryan, we're not taking the best bits. We're talking about things that annoy you.
Things that are not good.
All right, let's go to Dave. Is it the vomit?
It is not vomit.
Wow. It's not volcano. Huh? Is it the llama? Is it the llama by any chance?
All right, let's try Gabby in Long Beach. I can't imagine this is it, but let's at least give her the opportunity to guess. She's on line two, please.
Hey, Gabby.
Hi.
Hi. Most annoying.
Petros, his voice is like nails on a chalkboard.
How dare you?
We love him.
We love Petros.
It is Petros?
No, I mean, I don't mind his sports talk, but his voice, on the other hand.
He does seem to yell a lot.
Well, yeah. Petros is part of the Bachelor Report, so that's number two.
I love
Beef. Oh, that's not it either.
So that's not it. No.
Okay.
It's not just
okay.
All right. We're almost out of time here, you guys. Let's try Brian Brea, line five, please. Trying to figure out what listener Nina thinks is the worst feature on the Kevin and Bean Show. So far, we are coming up with blanks.
Hey, Brian.
Morning, gentlemen. My guess is Bean's Death Corner.
Bean's Death Corner.
That's a good one. That's a whole lot of Bean in that.
That's not bad.
That's Bean right, exactly. Bean-tific. Bean-tastic.
Is it Bean's Death Corner?
No.
Okay.
Surprisingly, no.
What's happening?
Tim writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, that Asian guy, Doto.
Oh,
I hate him. Yeah,
no, that's not what you do. What about Mina? What did Mina think?
Oh, Nina does not hate Doto.
All right. Let's just blow through him here because we are out of time. Daniel in Whittier, line six, real quick.
All right. Daniel, hi. Most annoying thing. Movie previews?
The movie beat on Friday. Is it the movie beat, Dave?
No, the movie previews. When you guys do the previews without, you have to hear the preview.
Oh, you mean when we play clips on
the air?
Yeah.
We play movie clips on radio? Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Was that
not it?
That's not it.
No. All right.
Yeah. All right. I think we're going to
discuss. It's funny how many of these we agree with,
but we still do them.
Yeah, we keep doing it.
I think we're going to have
stop
it there because we have a guest ready to come in. Dave, what is the worst feature on the Kevin and Bean Show according to Kevin and Bean, sometimes listener Nina?
I'm going to read Nina's message to me.
All right, here we go.
It's actually just Beer Mug's interviews. Woo! I cannot stand his voice. I have to turn the radio down when he talks. I do love Kevin and Bean, though.
Well, there Chip guessed Beer Mug's interviews like 10 minutes ago.
No one heard her. She's too small.
Yeah, I can't hear Chip.
Actress Gillian Jacobs in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Finally.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Here she is. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me in your beautiful studio.
Oh, please. You don't know the substances that are on the chair you're on.
Burn these jeans after
you
I leave.
You should. It's grim. So much to talk to you about. You're so busy. Gillian, of course, probably best known for being on Community, which returns for season 6 on Yahoo March 17th. She's got a documentary that we're fascinated with that we can't wait to talk about. And you're in 5 movies coming out in 2015. Is that true?
Is that true? I don't know. You seem to know more about my life than I do. I know I'm in Hot Tub Time Machine 2, which comes out very soon.
Awesome.
Looks hilarious.
I'm very
yes.
excited about that.
You're in that Kevin Costner black or white movie.
Yes.
I think that comes out on Friday.
I forgot.
Shouldn't you know that?
I know.
That's weird.
But, you know, it's like really you're just on to the next. All I'm thinking about is what I'm doing right now.
How long ago? What are you in that comes out Friday?
Oh, what am I in?
Black or white?
Black, it's black or white. White. Black
How long
or
ago
white.
Did you do that?
I shot that like a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay,
I shot that in a Hot Tub Time Machine back to back in the dead of summer in New Orleans. So my main memories are just sweating through everything I owned. Yeah.
That sounds grim.
It was.
I guess that makes sense that when you do it, you just kind of, you know, you're on to whatever the next job is and it's kind of out of your hands at that point. So you don't really have to keep track of it winding its way toward release. I guess that makes sense. This Queens of Code, though, is fascinating to us for a number of reasons, not the least of which, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds to me like they came to you and said, hey, do you want to do a documentary about this fascinating woman? And you said, I've never heard of her. Yes.
Correct. You've got that exactly correct. Yeah. ESPN, 30 for 30 Films, and 538.com asked me to make a film about this woman named Grace Hopper. And I said, who's Grace Hopper? But
so right then we knew you were the perfect person to make this movie.
Exactly. Yeah. My lifelong passion for the subject really got me the job. No, but quickly, the more I read about her, the more I fell in love with her and found out that she's this incredible woman who worked on a secret computer during World War II, much like, you know, The Imitation Game, the film that's out now with Benedict Cumberbatch, sort of like parallel in the United States, and then went to really do some incredible things in like the computing industry and was one of the very first programmers.
Was she working for the war effort? Is that what her job was?
Oh, she joined
the Navy, right?
She joined the Navy, yeah. And she actually rose to the rank of Rear Admiral by the time she retired. And
I don't think that's that's not a butt reference.
Oh,
oh really? Oh. She said Rear Admiral. I just for a minute. I thought, wow, now that's,
I don't think
documentary's
that's
getting spicy now.
I will tell you this though. We try to do research on the projects that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I heard you didn't get it.
For example,
I can't find a trailer for Queens of Code.
I know.
It's like a it's like Fight Club or something.
You know what's so funny? As soon as we get off the air, it will be online. So
it's unbelievable
I know.
How little information there is out there.
I like to be very secretive. I either like to forget about the things that I've done or have no information out there about them.
So had you ever done anything like this? I mean, you directed this documentary, right?
Yes,
which I imagine is incredibly complex. I mean, you've got to be juggling a million different things at one time, lots of different sources and interviews and news gathering. I mean, it seems like a big job.
It was. And I found that I actually really enjoyed it, having never done it before. And I had to use a variety of tactics, including like publicly shaming people on Twitter for not responding to my inquiries.
I like it.
Deploying my aunt actually in the credits for the documentary. You see special thanks to Aunt Honey, because I had to have my Aunt Honey call one university and get them to call us back because they weren't responding. So
really?
I was shameless. And
is it possible that that university had never heard of this woman?
My Aunt Honey? No, that would be even better if I just... Oh, no, they knew about her.
They knew
about her. No, they knew about her. They had important photographs that I needed, but it was probably more likely they'd never heard of my Aunt Honey. But
all right, yeah.
How long is the movie, Gillian?
It's 15 minutes long. It's a
15
short.
15 minutes. All right,
yeah.
It's about Grace Hopper. Again, she's a computer programmer. She's the one... One tidbit I did uncover in research is she's the one who is why we call the problems inside of a computer a bug.
Yes, that
she's
is
the one who invented that term.
That is a slightly apocryphal story, so I didn't include it in my documentary, but yes, that is like what she's most known for. Was during World War II, this computer, they were massive, they were size of rooms, and they would break down frequently, and one night it shut down, and they were trying to figure out what happened, and they found an actual moth, a bug, in the computer.
Well, that's not the same thing.
Well, and then they said first instance of an actual bug in a computer, and so then it came to be called debugging a computer.
So the one thing that somebody might have heard about that is involved in this woman's computer life, you left out of the movie.
Because I couldn't prove that she actually did it. So I was, it's a documentary. I'm trying to, like, you know, stick to the facts, ma'am. So, yes.
Right, where can people see The Queens of Code starting at 8 o'clock this
morning? Yeah, as soon as you stop listening to me, it'll be at 538.com.
And you spell all three words.
You spell all three words, yes.
All right. Gillian Jacobs is here. We'll talk some more about the movie, talk about Community, talk about the movies, just talk about how fabulous she is when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Spending a few minutes with Gillian Jacobs off the air here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and I have determined that she is way too smart for us.
Isn't that true of most people?
That is true of most people. Where'd you go to college, Gillian?
I went to Juilliard in New York.
Well, of course you did.
Yeah,
sure you did.
Me
yeah,
too.
See, what did I say? Way too smart for
you
us.
Don't have to be smart to go to Juilliard. They never asked for my SAT scores and only asked for my transcript after I'd been accepted. So,
but every time I see
did
someone
you shoddy work then.
Yeah.
Every time I see an interview with you, they always talk about how when you're not working, you spend all of your time reading books and listening to public radio. So clearly, you are way too smart for this room, that's for sure. That is why you are the director of a new documentary that is available to watch in 19 minutes. It is called The Queens of Code. You can see that at 538.com. Just briefly, before we move on, this 538, people don't know that name, but tell them the story behind that website, because it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, it was started by Nate Silver, who I think most people know for accurately predicting election results. He's a statistician who gained a lot of fame in, you know, having this scary accuracy with election results. And he started a website now that is sort of like a cousin to Grantland. So it's got a variety of like pop culture, but also tech, statistics, computing. And they've partnered with ESPN to do 30 for 30 style documentaries, but about statistics, tech, computing. So my documentary is one of the first ones that they've put out.
Well, that's the best way to get people interested in those documentaries is to say 30 for 30, because everybody adores those.
I know. They you know are I mean? The best.
So
they
great.
Are the gold standard.
All right. Let's switch topics, because you're going to be back on Yahoo for season 6 of Community, returning on March 17th. Those are all filmed, I imagine?
We are still working. I will go back next week and shoot another one. So we're about midway through the season
now.
Mm-hmm.
Has this been the craziest ride an actor can ever go through with what you've been with the ups and downs of this show?
I can safely say 6 years in, yes, we win the award on that one. I keep saying that whenever someone writes the oral history of Community, it's going to be a bestseller, because just about everything that can happen to a TV show has happened to us.
Well, you were on lots of different nights on NBC, lots of different time slots. You've been canceled at least twice that I can think of. I mean, it really is kind of amazing. I mean, what do you suppose it is that has created the hardcore fans that have made it possible for you guys to keep coming back? Like, what is it about the show that you think the smallish group of people have so deeply fallen in love with?
The 10 people that love us.
Love you hard.
Love us hard. I think that, you know, they identify with the characters. The characters on the show are underdogs. We as a show are underdogs. I think that we're easy to root for in that way. And I also think, you know, people have seen their favorite shows get canceled way before their time. Arrested Development, Firefly, you can name, you know, a half dozen. And so I think our fans were like, no, we're going to be proactive and we're going to work at this before they get canceled. So they were very organized, very, you know, determined and really creative. So hats off to them.
It's not a surprise they're creative, as the show is just out there.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things where you go, you know, most TV isn't that far out there.
So
it's refreshing.
Yeah, it's amazing what we're able to do in 5 days of shooting and with a very limited budget. You know, we're able to do action films and animated episodes and just about anything you can imagine we have managed to do in a half hour of
and a lot of paintball.
A lot of paint. Yeah. So much paint.
Mm-hmm. I remember throughout the seasons, you know, season 2, season 3, when it was always kind of like on the bubble. We were always trying to get people to watch it. We were talking about it all the time. And I would think as I would tune in, I would think if somebody's tuning into this show for the first time, they have no idea what this show is about, because every episode can be so different from every other episode. I mean, you really do have to watch more than one to get even an idea of what it's like.
Yes. 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 Which is maybe another one of our issues. yes. But I will say that if you're curious, you can go to Hulu Plus and watch all 5 seasons of Community to get ready for season 6 on Yahoo Screen.
And that comes out March 17th.
Yes.
St. Patrick's Day. The hashtag for a long time has been 6 seasons in a movie. Do you think that will end up happening, Gillian?
I would really like to see that happen, just because I can't even imagine what a movie written by Dan Harmon with these characters would be like.
Well, you'd go into space, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean,
at least.
Space is like, that's, you know, minor league stuff for us. We have to, like, completely break the space-time continuum. And, I mean, we've already done multiverses in this show. So, I mean, we really have to push it to the limits to make a movie.
Who was your favorite of all of the guest stars that you've had on Community?
Well, you know, we've had the great honor and privilege of having John Oliver on the show since the beginning. He was in the pilot of our show. He's been
awesome.
The show throughout. And it's really been incredible to watch his career develop. And, you know, I've been watching these promos for the second season of his show on HBO, and I think we're just all so proud of him. He's way smarter than all of us. And he is too good for us now, officially.
But Mikhail's a dick, too, right?
Mikhail is a dick.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's a super
Save
dick.
That piece of tape, please, for yes. the next time we have Joel on.
All right. Well, I'm so sad that we are out of time, but man, it's great to have you in, for reals.
Thank you so much. It's really wonderful to be with you remotely and everyone else in person.
I think it's best for all concerned. The Queens of Code sounds fascinating. Give it 15 minutes. Go to 538.com and watch it. It really does sound like a fascinating story of a person that we probably should know a lot more about than we do. And Community returns on Yahoo March 17th.
And Hot Tub Time Machine comes out February 20th.
Can't wait. Thanks, Gillian.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBean Show at 7:55.
This is the time of the hour where Ralph Garman tells us about the showbiz news. What's happening?
All right. That is well explained. Everyone knows what we're doing. It is the showbiz beat. Well, it looks like it's going to happen. The all-female Ghostbusters cast has been revealed. Paul Feig, the producer, director of this feature film, man who gave us the very funny Bridesmaids, posted a photograph of photoshopped foursome of Ghostbusters with these heads on them: Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon.
That's a hell of a cast.
Have reportedly signed on to play the all-female Ghostbusters. As I mentioned before, I would love to see those four women in a original film that would move forward the cause of female comedies. But look, if this is a big hit, then I'm sure that'll happen too. So there you go. Chris Pratt may be in a new film franchise. Star of Guardians of the Galaxy is being considered, according to Deadline.com and other sources, to take over for Harrison Ford as the new Indiana Jones. How can you replace the energetic and dynamic Harrison Ford with someone like Chris Pratt? You got to bring Harry back. Put him back in the fedora.
I don't think Harry's going to make that film.
You know who gets all the credit in the world, Ralph, is your buddy who made that Guardians of the Galaxy movie. He's the guy who looked at schlubby actor on Parks and Rec and said, I can turn him into an action hero.
Yeah, James Gunn. Of course, it doesn't hurt that Chris Pratt also dropped 400 pounds and got into amazing shape. And
there's
now,
that.
Now looks like a superhero. Doesn't hurt at all.
He's also got a great sense of humor.
He is. He's a super talented guy. Yeah, across the board. Perfect choice. The Oscars are coming up, of course. Oscar host Neil Patrick Harris is going to host. And I can't wait. He does a great job. Every time he hosts something, it's awesome. He's going to sing an original number to kick off things on the night. And it's going to be written by the very funny, talented musical people who wrote Frozen.
All right.
Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez, who won themselves an Oscar for the film, said they are constructing an original multimedia musical sequence called Moving Pictures for Neil to sing and dance while he's on stage on February 22nd at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood for the Oscars. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we're all disappointed whenever a show comes around and LL Cool J isn't hosting, but I guess we'll do with Neil Patrick Harris.
Get it. Ladies love Cool J.
Right, that's right, I forgot.
Oh, man. Beetlejuice 2! I'm very happy.
So soon?
How dare you, sir. Now that Michael Keaton's making movies again, looks like Beetlejuice 2 is closer to happening than ever. Tim Burton and Michael both said that they are eager to get started on it. Now Winona Ryder has piped in. And she said, as far as she knows, Beetlejuice 2 is going to happen, and she will be involved and can't wait. Well, I bet she can't. Yes. Last time we saw Winona Ryder in anything.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ariel Winter from Modern Family. She is 17 years old today. Actor Will Poulter, not only a talented actor, but a good guy. From Maze Runner, 22 years old today. J. Cole, the rapper, is 30. Elijah Wood is 34. Joey Fat One, the singer and TV show host.
I think it's Fatone.
There's a big space between Fat and One here. Okay. He's 38. Rick Ross turns 39. Sarah McLachlan's 47. And actor Alan Alda, who, of course, was Hawkeye Pierce many years ago on the classic television show MASH. Still a very talented actor. You can see him all the time. He was on Blacklist there for a while. I don't think he'll be back on. Spoilers.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jeff Garland joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so. The hilarious actor from Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Goldbergs and so many other great things. Great stand-up, too. He'll be here. Also, at 9 o'clock this morning, give you another chance to qualify for KROQ's World Tour 2015 Destination Number 3. We're talking about U2 in Barcelona, Spain. We'll give you tickets to go see the band at the Forum, and you get on the standby boarding list to see them in España. You can get the details at KROQ.com.
All right, Super Bowl is Sunday, and Seattle is playing New England, and Seattle has a running back named Marshawn Lynch, who is great.
He is a five-time Pro Bowler. He gains more yards than anyone, more rushing touchdowns than anyone year after year, or close to it. And he's been tough to stop for a lot of teams this year, that's for sure.
Now, the NFL has a rule that you have to do press. You have to do interviews after the game.
And that's how you create stars, is you make your players celebrities. And that's one of the ways that you do it.
Yeah. He didn't want to do it. I believe it was back in November, so he skipped it. And the NFL said, you know what? That happened last year, too. So we're going to fine you $50,000 for last year and $50,000 for this year.
By the way, I know that people say these fines don't impact NFL players, that what's that to a guy who makes millions of dollars a year? $50,000 is still $50,000. It may not mean the same as it does to you or me, but it's still $50,000.
Yeah,
it's still a couple of new cars. You know what I mean?
Just give it away.
No, you don't. I mean, I think that Marshawn Lynch woke up and took notice. As unfair as he thought it was that they forced him to speak to the media, I think that that's why he's taken on his new tack.
I love his new tack. I don't know why. It cracks me up. You just don't see somebody thumb their nose at the authorities like this so blatantly. But after they played the Arizona Cardinals in November, he sat down and people came in and interviewed him. And he started his new tack, which is, I'm going to give the exact same answer to every question. Doesn't matter what the question is. My answer in this case was yeah.
How does that defense compare to others that you've seen this year?
Yeah.
What was going on? Was the back all right? Obviously, got back in there.
Yeah.
How does your back feel, Marshawn?
Yeah.
You have skating pads in your cleats?
I got a foundation dinner at the Edgewater on December 14th.
Wait. All right, now, so he does
have a charity event.
He does have a charity, so he threw that out there. But then there's a follow-up question about that, and he won't answer that either.
So, yeah.
Edgewater Hotel?
Yeah.
Hey, Marshawn, every win is big, but just can you talk about this win against Arizona today?
Yeah.
How about the big game against 49ers next week?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on the defense today and how they played out there today?
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I say dick move, by the way.
I do too, but I like it.
I don't like it. Mm. I don't like it. I don't think it's fair to your other teammates who now have to spend all of their time fielding questions about Marshawn Lynch. And I think it's a reasonable request from the NFL to say, hey, make yourself available for 5 minutes for interviews.
Do you know him?
We're paying you a lot of money. No, of course I don't.
I don't mean do you know him personally. I mean, do you know why he hates doing this so much? Is it just he hates doing interviews? Or?
Yeah, I think he's just not comfortable. Some people just aren't comfortable in front of a microphone. He just doesn't like and doesn't want to do it.
All right, so they beat the Cardinals and he did the yeah interview. Then they played the Cardinals again and I believe beat him again. And his answer this time was, thanks for asking.
Sean, can you describe the 79-yard touchdown run?
Thanks for asking.
How about the stomach issue early in the game?
I appreciate you asking about my stomach. Thank you.
Was there any concern whether you were going to play at all tonight?
Thanks for asking.
It cracks me up. I don't know why. It just makes me laugh because he's basically thumbing his nose at the NFL and saying, no, I'm not going to do it.
He is doing the absolute bare minimum to avoid being fined. That's for sure. And he came out and said as much yesterday. We'll get to that tape in just a second. So, all right. So that's against Arizona December 21st. Then he's playing Carolina in the playoffs January 10th, 2015. So this was just a couple of weeks ago.
You think he has a team of writers that comes up with a new catchphrase?
I don't know who Marshawn's got in the writer's pen, but here's what he came up with for all the answers in this press conference.
Third quarter to really break through with
the run defense. I'm thankful.
I'm thankful is his answer. And by the way, can you hear him in love with the cocoa in the background?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Love that so much.
Talk about your performance in the second half, the big run.
I'm thankful.
Marshawn, can you tell us a little bit about the team approach?
I'm thankful.
What was the song of the day on the way to the game, Marshawn?
I'm thankful.
By the way, at least that reporter is like, okay, let's ask him a non-football related question. What was the song you were listening to?
There you go. There you go.
But
by
nothing,
the way,
nothing.
With all the football players, with all the NFL stars that have been getting in trouble in recent years and all the fines that, I mean, over $2 million in fines have been handed out, I think, in the last couple of years in the NFL. Marshawn Lynch leads them all with the amount of money that he has been fined. And this is a guy, by the way, who is an exemplary citizen in terms of not getting in trouble. These aren't over DUIs or domestic abuse charges or anything like that. I mean, this is just from stuff like this. He keeps getting fined and for grabbing his junk a little bit, too.
Sure. Well, he grabs his junk when he scores. And now the NFL is going, don't do that or we'll fine you for that.
That's right.
And you
they've already fined him for that. He's already been fined over $20,000 for grabbing his junk. Now they're saying we're giving you a 15-yard penalty, too. So it's going to hurt the team if you grab your junk in the Super Bowl.
You can take a bet. You can actually bet on whether he's going to grab his junk after he scores. That's awesome. And then yesterday was media day for the Super Bowl. And basically everybody had to show up, and Marshawn Lynch did, and he said why.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined, so y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer, so y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined. I'm here so I won't get fined.
Now, in this case, you can't hear the questions because it's a much bigger room and they're much further away, but he just sticks to the script.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
4.5 minutes of this.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
25 times.
I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined. I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Don't you just picture, who's the commissioner of the NFL? Don't you just
Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell. Don't you just picture him going, God damn it.
What do I have to do?
I need to fine him for something. Find me something I can fine him for.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Oh, okay.
Why won't they fine you for not answering the question?
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
By the way, you couldn't hear that question, but it was why would they fine you for not answering questions? I'm just here so that I won't get fined.
Look, I love Marshawn. A lot of football fans admire his play on the field, but I just think this is a distraction that's not necessary. I really do. I know it's funny and all, but it's not asking too much for you to field a couple of questions from the press. It's just not.
As my team is watching from the couch, I love it.
Jeff Garland, ladies and gentlemen, stepping into the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm young and I'm handsome.
You are both of those things. Jeff, yes. Of course, is the star of, among many other things, the Goldbergs, Wednesday nights at 8:30 on ABC. Your good friend Gillian Jacobs was just in here a few minutes ago.
Yeah, don't say good friend.
You're good friends. She said that you guys were actual friends.
We are actual friends. That doesn't mean we're good friends. I could be better friends with her. I actually don't spend enough time with her. She's somebody I'd want to spend more time with.
She's super cool.
She's rocking cool. She's rocking beautiful. She's rocking talented.
And smart, we found out today. Very, very smart.
Smart as a whip. It's kind of ridiculous.
So we says to her, we says, hey, you know, because she's got the Chicago connection with her boyfriend and everything. We're her dad. So we're like, hey, Jeff Garland's coming in a few minutes. She's like, oh, I love Jeff Garland. I'm like, well, why don't you hang out? He's going to be here in like 15 minutes. She's like, got to go. So she's out the door. But she told us a great story, Jeff, about you that we would like to get confirmation on. Kevin, I'm going to let you take
it
away.
I'm not telling it. You tell it. I'll tell it poorly.
Gillian says that she and her boyfriend went to the movies one time and that they ran into you in the theater and that you were sitting up front by yourself. And I believe she said it was one of the Planet of the Apes movies. Is this how
I think it was the newest Planet of the Apes.
The last Planet of the Apes movies. Uh-huh. So they see you in the theater and they sit down and they got their popcorn and they're watching the movie and the movie starts to unfold. And 5 minutes into the movie, you stand up and you're all Jeff Garland about it, just like you're on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And you say, nope. And you get up and you walk out of the theater.
And I said, was it empty? And she's like, no, there was a lot of people in there.
You gave it 5 minutes.
Who, even if you hate it, who stands up in the middle of a crowded theater and yells, no? That's insane.
Well, a couple things. One was, it was probably more than 5 minutes, but definitely not more than 15.
All right, so?
Okay, that is true. I got the no years. Do you know Bob?
Yes,
Kuberger?
Of course. Yes.
So Bob is one of my oldest and closest friends, and Bob has done many things that have made me laugh hard.
He's
the
hilarious.
Best one, not the best. I mean, he's done so many, but we were at the movies 100 years ago, and a trailer came on, a terrible trailer. And after the trailer was over, Bob screamed, truly screamed, no, like that. Well, I fell out of my chair, and actually everybody in the theater laughed because it was terrible. So over the years, I have stolen that from him. I've done it trailers. I've done it moments. And at certain points in movies,
that's
I just
crazy.
Yell no and leave.
It's a whole different thing to yell it after a trailer when there's nothing going on than it is in the middle of a movie.
Well, it was just a moment of just, I can't. I got to go. I'm sorry.
We've all been at that position where,
by the way, I
it's
walk,
a moment we have to go.
But here's the thing, too. I don't always yell no, but I walk out of movies, I would say, at least half the time.
Now, why is that, Jeff? Do you just have extremely high expectations when you go in that if it's not great, I'm not going to waste my time?
Yeah. No, I'll do. But look, I'll give you a movie that I love.
Okay.
Not a great movie, but still entertaining and I thought wonderful. John Wick. Now, did you see John Wick?
I didn't, but I heard great things about it.
Yeah. Okay, you saw it.
It was good.
That was really good, really fun. And that's what, to me, that's the minimum of what a movie should be.
Okay.
I go there, and for 90 minutes, I am totally entertained. And even if it's not highbrow or Academy Award type thing, it's really entertaining. That was John Wick. Most movies do not come close to John Wick. They try. You know whose movies I love is Liam Neeson.
Yeah, always.
Because
so you're in on all those Taken movies.
Yeah. But I know what I'm going
in. You're
going to
go in there. You're going to see Liam Neeson kick ass, kill people.
Good night, nurse.
Done.
Boom out. but they know what they're doing. You know, the people who make those movies.
Yeah, of course.
John Wick, they knew what they were doing. So
Planet of the Apes movie was pretty good.
Not to my book. I used to love. I have all the Ape movies on Blu-ray.
Who walks out though in less than 15 minutes?
I do.
Okay.
There's not a chance you felt like maybe they'll be able.
Maybe
to...
it was slow to set it up, but then it was going to pay off and get good fast.
I have stayed for entire movies that I felt maybe were going to have a payoff and didn't.
Yeah,
but no, I just
that
have
one.
Movies are. Here's the thing. Television, there's some great things on television.
Yes.
And movies, not so many great things.
I have heard you say, Jeff, on your podcast that 9 out of 10 comedy films that you go to suck. Nine out of ten is the number you're getting.
99 out of 100.
Wow.
Okay,
but so here's my question to you.
You're tough to please.
What kind of you're super, it's not picky, but why do you go to so many then?
I am.
You're the
truly,
eternal optimist.
I'm the eternal optimist. That's exactly. What's the thing when you just said it in another way. So yeah, eternal optimist. I think, I hope, but here's the thing. For the most part, I don't go to comedies.
You don't.
Okay. I go to comedies. I just don't because I here's the thing. I can stomach a bad action movie and leave or maybe even stay. Bad
because
comedy,
at least there's action.
Right, but bad comedy is like the most is an insult to mankind. It's what I do. It's what I do. It's like imagine a rocker listening to an album that stinks.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this. Is this because that your comedy taste is so specific, the kind of comedy that you find funny?
No. I have a wide range. Like, the only thing that I find knockdown, drag out hilarious on TV is South Park.
Yeah.
South Park paralyzes me. Timmy. did you see that episode?
They're all with Timmy.
But he had like an Uber company. I mean, where I grab my stomach, I'm laughing so hard. I've seen some early cuts of Robert Smigel's Triumph
show. Oh, you
show,
have?
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is
that
hilarious.
That looks like it's going
to
be
so
awesome.
So it doesn't need to be highbrow. You know what I mean, man? It can be, you know, like it doesn't have to be Groundhog Day. It can be completely silly, but have it be. I mean, I want.
It can be silly but good.
Yes.
But Jeff, with all due respect, does the Goldbergs make the cut for you?
Boom! Wow!
No,
come at him.
No, that's
no. I'm not coming at you. I'm asking how this fits into your comedy worldview.
That's
a very broad comedy.
I wouldn't say it's very broad. Very broad means that nothing could happen in real life. I'm kind of a stickler in scenes I'm in. I'm like, you know. But I like the writing on the show, and I'm proud of the show. Would I watch the show if I wasn't on it? Probably not, unless I was, like, with my family.
Right.
Okay.
That's what every network wants their star to
no,
do on stage.
But I talked about it in the New York Times. I said I really don't watch it that often. I've watched the last two, and I thought they were excellent. But it's not... To me, it's not grab your stomach funny. It's like, right. That was really good.
It's sweet. It's sweet, too. It's sweet. It's got heart, and it's got a family heart. That cares about each other. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And and there are some very funny things in it, and I'm very proud of it. You know what I mean? I by the way, there's different levels, you know? I mean, I buy South Park on my Apple
Same.
TV.
Okay. I do that too.
Yes.
Because it's unedited.
Unedited. It is. So, to me, that's a point. I buy the Goldbergs just to show support.
Sure.
But it wouldn't be something I'd buy. It'd be something I'd catch if I'm watching and I go, oh, this is pretty good.
It's a sweet show.
Yeah, like Larry David watched it. He said, oh, it's good. And it is good. And for network TV, that's amazing. That's like you have to, up the ante
sure.
with network TV. Another show that I love, I don't always laugh hysterically, but I love, is Veep.
Awesome. Oh, Veep is great.
That is great.
That's maybe the best cast on TV, too.
So people are doing
that's
great
work.
That's
a great comedy.
Okay. Zach Galifianakis just kills me.
Same.
Will Ferrell.
Same.
Just kills me. So odds are...
Kevin, you and Jeff should take a road trip together.
We
you guys
should.
Are brothers, man.
But
I've never stood up and yelled, nope! Yeah. I have to do that now.
Okay, you have to do
That's
that.
That's a challenge for me.
It's
all right,
very
Jeff,
freeing.
Yes. Hold your thought for 1 second, because we got to take a quick break. Jeff okay. Garland is here. Do I want to sell this, and I want people to stick around because I want them to hear this story. Am I correct?
Kristen Wiig is awesome.
Am I correct in saying that it is possible this Sunday that we will tune into the Academy Awards, and you, Jeff Garland... Well, I guess the Academy Awards aren't this Sunday, but when they have it.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was thinking of the Super Bowl. Sorry. I was thinking of the Super Bowl. Sorry.
It's highly unlikely.
Is it possible that when we tune in for the Academy Awards on February 22nd, that you, Jeff Garland, will be on stage accepting an Oscar?
It's possible.
It is possible.
Yes, it is possible.
Will you thank us?
Only you.
We'll find out.
Bing for putting money into the movie.
He did. We'll find out why Jeff Garland is nominated for a mother effing Oscar when we return right after this on K-Rock. I know what you're thinking when I tell you that Jeff Garland is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you're thinking, nope. But yep, here he is. Jeff, tell folks why you might win an Academy Award, because this blows my mind.
I put together a movie. I was the executive producer, of a movie called Finding Vivian Maier, which is a documentary about a nanny who put her stuff in storage, and in storage someone bought was a bunch of photography, which is now considered some of the best street photography in the history of the world.
And she had never shown one picture to anyone.
As far as we know, she's never showed. She's no longer alive. She never showed a picture to anyone.
Now, let me ask you a general question, Jeff.
Okay.
Because I don't live in a world where I am aware of documentaries. I like them if I'm pointed at them. And I go find them?
I concur.
Okay.
I completely concur. And by the way, documentaries generally talk about a high ratio of seeing a good... if you're going to see a documentary, the odds are you're going to be entertained for that 90 minutes. Yeah, it's not a thing, like you just said.
It just isn't a thing.
But if you're pointed at it and you watch it, you go, hey, that was good.
Yeah, it was. I watched it last night and it was fascinating.
You watched it last night?
Yes.
And it is fascinating.
Yes. Why would this woman who's a nanny?
I know. It's nuts.
So she walked around the streets taking care of kids and took a camera with her
everywhere she went.
For
with
decades,
the kids,
right?
And by the way, she went into areas that kids should not be taken in.
Yes. The seediest parts of Chicago and New York.
Yes.
You guys wait here. I got to go take some pictures of some headless mannequins.
Mystery, though, is there's so many questions about this woman who's no longer around, who had no family left to ask these questions. But what do you think, Jeff? You've spent a lot of time looking into her story and thinking about it. What do you think drove her to take those photos, to create such beautiful art, yet not share it with the world?
Okay. I'm not the same, but I have been doing photography now for 6 years.
Right.
Okay? I have not shown anybody my work. I understand the logic. It's not about it. You take pictures for your own pleasure.
Right.
And unless you have a switch, a certain switch inside you that you need to have somebody see it, There's no motivation. What's interesting about her, though, is she took the film and didn't it's not even like she can look at it in Lightroom or Aperture, you know, or Photoshop.
Right. It was old school.
She took it. It was film.
Yeah.
So there are rolls of film where she never developed. And then she developed pictures. And still, when these brilliant pictures came out, never went, maybe I should show Bob down at the park. You know, there was never.
She didn't have any friends, right?
I don't see. The thing is, she is truly a mystery.
I think she's a spy. After watching it, like, she doesn't have a background.
By the way,
nobody
hold
knows.
On. In the movie, she says she's a spy.
I know, but jokingly.
Maybe. No, you say that. Who the hell knows?
But
by the way, would you really be surprised? Would you really be surprised
if you found
out she was a spy?
Probably not at all. No.
I wouldn't either.
But except for what she took pictures of would have been a waste for whoever's hiring her.
But you don't know that. You don't know that some of those people with those faces could have been
some of those people with those faces I didn't think about.
Yep.
We are talking to actor Jeff Garlin, who is the producer of a film called Finding Vivian Maier, which is available on iTunes, by the way. It's still in select theaters. It's also showing on Showtime or something right now?
It's on Showtime right now. It's on iTunes. And I want to just – the reason I can say the movie's great and people should see it is because I had nothing creatively to do with it.
Okay.
It's directed by John Maloof and Charlie Siskel, who did a great job. I protected them. I was a sounding board for them. I got it to the studio that bought it. I put them together.
Would you say you're a wheeler and dealer?
I was a wheeler and dealer. although I did not get paid for the movie. Actually, I did get paid. I got 4 Vivian Maier photos.
Really?
And that's it. Yep. Boom. That's what I got paid.
Those would be worth a lot after you're dead.
Yes, I guess if someone goes through my storage bin.
Let me just say one more thing about this woman, and Kevin has heard me say this before when I first was introduced to her work last year, and that is the remarkable thing about her is she has such an incredible eye in that most of us, if we're lucky enough to take a good photo, it's because we've taken 10 photos in a row of the same thing and one of them looks good. Her photos, you look at her contact sheet, and she takes a great photo, and then right next to it is another great photo, and then another great photo. Like, she didn't miss. What's incredible about
her. It is insane. Rarely does she take more than one photo of a person or a situation. And that is unheard of.
I take 1,000 and keep 12. That's just the way it works.
All right,
because
let me tell you something.
You get lucky.
That's a high ratio.
I know.
Okay, I was with this great photographer named Matt Stewart, Stuart. Go to his website. Great pictures. He's fantastic. And his keepers are a few per thousand. You know, that's what it is for any great photographer.
But in the world of digital, it's so much easier because you can just delete and
take more pictures.
Right. But you don't have to go get them all developed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
All right. Listen, Jeff, we're almost out of time here. Again, the name is Finding Vivian Maier. If you want to check that out.
By the way, I enjoy myself so much. I don't like waking up in the morning.
No one does.
Yeah. But the point being is once I'm here, I'm thrilled.
We're always sad that we don't have more time with you because we love talking. But I want to spend our remaining moments talking about something else, Jeff, and that is your podcast is so great. You only do 4, 5, 6 a year, right? It's a pretty low number.
I'm actually about to lower that even more. Well, because I'm so busy.
I know you are. I know you are.
I've got, you know who's coming on out, I think, this week?
Tell me.
It might be my last one for a while. Ryan Adams.
Oh, nice.
He was unbelievable. So funny. So great. Yeah.
You have tremendous guests on your show, and I know that there are a billion podcasts out there, and it's impossible to keep track of all the ones.
Yes, it is.
But do yourself a favor. The most recent episode that posted, I think, is you with the great Bill Burr.
It would mean Bill Burr is one
of the funniest podcast episodes you'll ever hear.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you.
He is at the top of his game. Every comedian we have in here now, they say Bill Burr is the one that's owning it right now.
No, he is at the top of his game.
He's great.
He is remarkable.
Bean always tells me about podcasts that I should listen to, and I always think to myself, how am I going to have time to listen to podcasts?
Okay.
But it looks like your output is low enough.
It's low
that
enough
I could actually
you could keep up.
I could squeeze it in.
Yes, you could.
I like that.
And you know, it's so funny you say that. I have friends like Judd Apatow, for example.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell me, "Oh, I listened to your latest podcast." When? Yeah. You're making 900 movies. You're busy with your fam. When are you listening to my podcast?
When you drive. That's when you do it.
Yeah, I guess people listen when they drive. They plug in
absolutely.
Their
absolutely. All right. A lot of stuff for you to check out as we say goodbye to Mr. Garland. By the way, In Conversation with Jeff Garland, the podcast is available through the Earwolf Network or on iTunes. You can find Vivian Meyer on iTunes as well, and you should. And let's all root for Jeff at the Oscars on the 22nd of February.
I love that you were looking for.
Just can't get
by the
date.
Way, is it the 22nd of February? I'm completely confused.
It is. Okay. According to this paperwork in front of me, but we've been wrong before.
And of course, Super Bowl is this Sunday.
Super Bowl is Sunday,
and
right.
And I could be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy.
Yes, you could also win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Do us a favor, though. When you're at the Oscars,
yes.
Stand up and yell nope and storm out.
Okay. Can I tell a really quick story? Sure, sure. This is good eating. So I'm at the Emmys, okay? And Larry David is sitting in front of me, and we're right directly in front of me. And I have great respect for Larry, and he's one of my best friends, okay? It was the year that the Reality Stars hosted.
And it was terrible.
It reinvented terrible.
It really did.
It was unbelievable. Well, very early on, I wanted to stand up and yell no. Just like that. And the only thing that stopped me was that Larry would have been upset that the cameras would have come our way.
Because he doesn't want to be seen.
He doesn't want to be seen. Wow. But by the way, under normal circumstances,
he would have laughed his ass off.
Without a doubt, fell out of his chair. Because he loves that stuff.
You would have been speaking for America had you done
sure
that.
Would.
By the way, I would have. And if I could go back in time,
you'd do it.
I'd do it.
Right, pick
that's
a spot
of,
in the Oscars. That's
one of my great regrets that I didn't. Well, what's his name's hosting the Oscars? He'll do a good job.
Oh, yeah, Neil Patrick Harris. Yes. Fine.
But maybe someone will win an Academy Award and you'll disagree with that choice in the category. That's your time to yell no for
the home that girl. Is so egotistical on my part. That what my opinion
it has
so
to be. No, it has to be something you know nothing about. Because then it's funny.
Oh, no.
Now, like sound editing or something.
Yeah, sound editing.
I just think that, no, I think in all sincerity. Yeah, that would be really funny.
It would.
And then also, if somebody's just a jerk.
Okay.
No!
Jerk! I'd like to hear jerk then.
Yeah, jerk.
All right, we got something to look forward to. Jeff, we're out of time. We got to go, but we love you, man. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Our weekly visit with Adam Carolla coming up just after 9. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
I don't like poor people.
Women. People of color.
Well, if Adam can't make it today, you just jump on the phone. You can be him.
Yeah, you don't have to listen. You've got the gist of it now.
I have passes to give you, my fine feathered friends. Passes to the premiere of Jupiter Ascending.
Yay!
Jupiter Ascending.
See what you did?
The porn parody's right there in the title. If you'd like to go, why wouldn't you? It's got Mila Kunis, Channing Tatum, Eddie Redmayne. You like your sci-fi, you like your fantasy, you like your adventure, boom! Jupiter Ascending's got it all. The premiere happens Monday, February the 2nd at the TCL Chinese Theater. And if you don't win these passes, don't feel too bad for yourself, because the movie's in every theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 6th, so you can see it then. But if you'd like to see the premiere, call me now at 1-800-520-1067. Call me now and go see Jupiter Ascending.
I sure hope Jeff Garland likes it, man. I want to be in the theater with him.
No!
No!
He's the best. Speaking of tickets, Friday night. It's Friday again. Hollywood Babylon's back to a Friday night at the Improv on Melrose. Come see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon. You can get all your info and tickets at improv.com.
No!
10 o'clock Friday night.
Just not interested.
That's okay. Katy Perry is diving feet first into her big Super Bowl halftime show. She's preparing. Posted a picture of herself on her Instagram showing all of her 10 toenails painted like tiny little footballs. See what she's getting ready for football with the feet.
Okay.
Is that going to be very effective at the Super Bowl? Are we getting a lot of shots of her feet at the Super Bowl?
I'm guessing not.
She's got hot feet, though.
Does she?
Yeah. Hmm. Makes you want to pull out the vajankle. Have you seen the vajankle?
No, I haven't.
I'm afraid I don't know what
I'm
that
worried
is.
To ask about
you
it.
You guys don't know about the vajankle?
No.
Oh. Open up a blog.
What's the vajankle?
The vajankle is the sex toy for foot fetishists.
which looks exactly like a real-life human female foot that has been severed at the ankle.
What the?
And then the ankle has been transformed into a fleshlight-type self-pleasuring device. That it's an exact replica of a vagina. So it's a vagina in an ankle. It's the vajankle.
All right. Hold it. Hold on.
I will hold it.
Just hold on.
Without my hands. Vajanko!
That's a thing?
Hell to the yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Chip, get over here on your little computer. Get your box, whatever you stand on, to get up there to the keyboard. And go on the computer and go to a search engine of your choice and type in V-A-J-A-N-K-L-E, vajankle. And then pull up an image, if you will. There you go. Here's your vajankle. Come on now. Does that look like Jeffrey Dahmer's hottest dream?
That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Most disturbing thing you'll see today, I promise you. Do yourself a favor, kids. Go to your computers.
Don't do it. It's not safe for work, I'll tell you that.
It's absolutely safe for work.
I guess
it is. It's just latex. It's just nothing but rubber.
Yeah.
You type in your vajankle, V-A-J-A. N-K-L-E. Pull it up and take a look.
I thought it... I can't tell you what I
thought
it was.
It's something you won't ever forget.
Hmm. That's not...
Ralph, you're the resident sexpert. If you
and
can,
the vajankle expert.
If you can briefly tell me, why do some people develop crazy foot fetishes? Like, where does that come from? What happens to them that's their thing?
The fetish, and actually fetish is a misnomer. It's not the proper term for what these types of things are. They're more known as paraphilias. These are things that people are find sexual attraction to. They're outside of the norm, whatever that may be.
Right.
Usually they come from early onset incidents in someone's life.
Something that happens to you when you're a kid, maybe?
Right.
That makes an impact.
So maybe when you're a kid, you've got a hot next-door neighbor or something who would hang her feet outside the car in the summertime when she would drive by or something. You have some connection. You have some early-onset sexual reaction to a body part. Usually that can result in a paraphilia or a particular attraction.
Until
fetish,
today, I didn't know that you could nail an ankle.
But now you can, thanks to the ankle. But foot fetish is a huge one. That's one of the more popular ones,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest ones. And there's something about the shape and of a attractive female foot that does it for a lot of guys. I like a good female foot.
Sure, but you want to look up and see what else is there, right?
Well, it depends.
It doesn't work on its
own. What if above the ankle's not so hot? Then I'm just focusing on the foot. That's why I got me a vajankle. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I hope Katy Perry comes out with her own line of vajankles. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I do, too. Painting like little footballs on the toes.
Yep.
Alan Alda is 79 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Sarah McLachlan is 47. Rick Ross turns 39. Joey Fatone of NSYNC fame is 38. Elijah Woods, 34. Rapper J. Cole turns 30. Will Poulter, he's the Maze Runner. At least it wasn't the Maze Runner. He was in the Maze Runner. He was real good in it. 22 years old. And Ariel Winter from Modern Family. She's 17 years old and a lovely one she is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Rita Darcy from La Puente. Just got tickets to see U2. They've added a fifth show at the Forum, June 3rd. And she's also on the standby boarding list to see them in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona!
That is a great prize. Hope you win. K-Rock's World Tour 2015, destination number 3. You got another chance to qualify at noon today, and then again at 3, 6, and 9. Details at krock.com. Adam Carolla joins us this week about this time every week. He's got a live podcast coming up at the Irvine Improv with our friend Greg Fitzsimmons. That's going to be on Thursday, February 12th. Tickets are on sale now through adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, man. Feeling good.
Before we get into This Week in Rage, I wanted to ask you, because you interviewed one of the all-time movie greats this week. Tell me about your conversation with Kevin Costner, and is it up yet?
It's up today. We did a nice long 1 hour one-on-one, and maybe it went well, maybe it didn't. I don't know. I got an email from him yesterday inviting me to a Santa Barbara cottage.
What? What?
Here, I swear to God, I had this thought. Yes, I literally, with pictures and the whole thing, with the beach and the whole thing, I stopped in my kitchen last night and I said, I wonder if he's gay. He likes me so much. And then I thought, I think if he made a move, I wouldn't stop
it. Well, he's a good-looking man, let's face it. But, I mean, if you could go back and talk to teenage Adam Carolla, who probably went to see Field of Dreams and probably went to see Bull Durham and probably went to see all those movies that he did, The No Way Out and all those, when he's a huge movie star, and told him that one day you'd get that gay invitation to come spend a weekend with him, it would have just blown teenage Adam Carolla's mind.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, he said bring the wife and twins, but I can see through that.
Yeah, that's
gay code,
that's
right?
That's code, right. Exactly.
Twins means nutsack. Wife means leave her at home.
Exactly.
I understand.
Understand. Well, we're very excited. I can't wait to hear that episode. That's great. All right, Adam is here. That means it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
I'll go and start at three, work my way up to number one. Speaking of gay, I think there's another scandal brewing over there in Patriots land. I'm talking a lot about Deflategate.
Right.
I got a new scandal going over there. I think Bill Belichick is gay.
What are you talking about? He's
Hear
the worst
me out.
Dressed man in America.
Hear me out. We've all seen what Tom Brady looks like, right?
Yeah, of course.
Have you seen his backup, Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't believe I have, no.
No.
Oh, my God. Google image Jimmy Garoppolo or whatever his name is.
He's also pretty dreamy?
Better, more dreamy. More dreamy than Tom Brady. Then I was thinking about it because last week, I was interviewing Drew Bledsoe, the guy Tom Brady replaced, and I went, wait a minute. Drew Bledsoe was a bit of all right. I mean, he was 6'5", and he had matinee idol good looks, and then I started thinking about it. Doug Flutie, sure, short in stature, definitely a spinner, but he's good looking. Nothing wrong with Tim Tebow. Just think about it. Not a Doug Williams in the batch. No Matthew Stafford's in there. I'm telling you, I challenge you, Patriot Nation. Go look at the last 20 quarterbacks that the Patriots have drafted. It's like the Thunder from Down Under. Tammy, have you seen a picture of this Garoppolo kid?
No, Tammy's not here.
Tammy's out today. She's not well. But I will speak for her because I did Google on your instructions. And yeah, he's pretty dreamy.
Better looking than Brady.
Yeah, possibly.
All right. Belichick gay.
Okay.
I mean,
I still think the way he dresses works against that, but all right.
It's irrefutable. Wouldn't you dress that way, too? Wouldn't you dress like a lesbian trucker who's out of work? You were trying to hide something, Kevin.
I don't know how to answer that.
It's a good point.
Okay.
Yes.
That's my point.
All right.
All right. While we're on it, I was in Vegas last week. The porn convention was in town. I thought the whole idea of porn was to get away from other dudes who liked porn.
Yeah.
I mean, was there anything more uncomfortable than back in the day when you'd go to the video rental store and you'd go into the porn section and you'd rub up against the other like-minded perv in the Ubangus Yanus department? What is this thing where we're going to get 200 million square feet and put all the guys who live at their mom's house under one roof so they can hang out in line? The deal, Pussycat Theaters do not exist anymore, correct?
Correct.
Why? I don't know what that is. What is that?
Because
it's a movie theater.
Watch porn alone.
Yeah, it's a movie theater where you go to see movies. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
God, don't play stupid with me, Kevin. First the whole Belichick gay thing and now this. What's a playboy? I've never heard of such a periodical. You sicken me. All right. Number one, I have an idea. It's going to be controversial, but
really?
I think it's really going to make some change in this
What
city.
A surprise. Go ahead.
Well, what's happened, what's going on, gas prices are going down. Everyone's buying the Denalis and the SUVs again. We're trying to get ourselves off oil, but with the gas prices going down, everyone gets away from the Prius and the Leaf and the electric cars and all that kind of stuff. Where's the incentive? That's the whole point. The gas is too cheap. I got some incentive.
Okay.
Hear me out.
All right.
You buy an electric car in California, you can drive, and you get pulled over by a cop for drunk driving, 0.01. It gets risen from 0.08. We give you a couple extra tenths.
Now
hear me out.
No, come on, Adam.
Hear me out.
Wait, you're saying that we allow them to be drunker?
A little bit.
That's a terrible
idea. 20% drunker.
That's a terrible.
Just a little bit drunker.
That's a terrible idea.
I'll tell you how it balances out, Kevin.
All right.
Who does all the driving when they're drunk legally? I'll tell you when. When you're golfing. What's that car powered by? It's an electric car. The golf cart is electric. People have logged millions of miles drunk in electric car already. They don't even know it. They're called golfers. These people are used to driving electric cars. There's something about electric car that lends itself to driving buzzed. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the hot chick selling the Miller Lite right out there in the fairway. We already know how to do it intuitively. Kevin, you and I have golfed.
That's a terrible idea,
Adam. You've seen me driving a drunken electric car before.
Yeah, but there's a minimum amount of damage you can do in
incentive.
That.
It's called incentive. It's called incentive. I didn't say raise it up to throw up in your sombrero level. I said a couple of points.
Yeah.
0.01.
That's
all. Little incentive.
I think you're on your own on that one.
Okay. Well, you want to see Malibu underwater? That's fine. That's fine with me.
Adam's just tried to save the environment, Kevin. Why are you against that?
Yeah. We see where he's at.
All right. Live podcast on stage of the Irvine Improv with the great Greg Fitzsimmons. That's going to be a fun night on Thursday night, February 12th at 8 o'clock. Tickets available now. Just $30 through adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, have a great week. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Time for one more look at the showbiz beat now here on the show for a Wednesday. Ralph Garman steps in. What's going on, man?
How's your ass bone?
How's your ass bone?
Fine. It's a tailbone.
Tailbone.
There's nothing new because I haven't been to the neurologist yet. I told you.
All right.
Take it easy,
man.
Assy.
Sorry, I inquired about your health.
No, I appreciate that. I can tell. I wish I had more answers for you. I'm sorry that I just don't.
Sore ass has made you a sore head, man.
I'm
woefully
short details on the nerve damage.
You've been boomed.
Sorry.
Okay.
Boomed.
That's how it works.
Lights out.
I apologize. It's a sore subject, no pun intended.
Hey, see what she did.
Because his ass is hurt.
Kevin, you know what it's like when you're trying to get into a doctor. It's tough.
Well, good doctors, they'll say, May. And you go, May might as well be 15 years from now.
Right, exactly.
If you're trying to get into your doctor, just use more lube.
No, that's...
Or get a vajangle.
Yeah.
But it's a big hit, by the way, the vajangle.
That's a very troubling photo.
Kids are loving it.
Just...
Kids love it.
I'd like to unsee it. I don't think that's possible.
I like it. It's a hit. Monica Potter. You familiar with her from Parenthood?
Yeah, she's a good actress.
In this TV news, it's announced that she will be sticking with NBC after her series wraps up tomorrow night. It's the series finale of Parenthood. She's going to be staying with the network, doing an untitled comedy pilot, starring Monica and being produced by Ellen DeGeneres. I think she's talented. I think that will be...
I do, too.
Will be very successful.
She's a real good actress. And she was also a long-running star of either The Practice or Boston Legal, whichever one she was on. But she was real good on that, too.
Talking about people getting another shot at television success. How about Chevy Chase?
Yes.
Chevy Chase returning to television on ABC for a new sitcom, co-starring his National Lampoon wife, Beverly D'Angelo. Right. I kid you not...
Is it called Vacation?
Nope.
Okay.
The ABC comedy so far is entitled Chev and Bev.
That's the placeholder working title until they name it.
Chev and Bev, where Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo will star in Chev and Bev.
But Bean's right. That's just because they haven't thought of a name yet.
If they change the title, I will kick some ass.
That's a terrible name.
They will play two fun baby boomers who are fun and relevant, living in a selfish retirement when their world is turned upside down, when they're suddenly left to raise their grandchildren.
What?
What? Are they fresh off the boat? So they can make this better. Have you seen the commercials for Fresh Off the Boat?
Oh, Fresh Off the Boat.
Is that going to be the worst sitcom in the history of mankind?
I don't know what that is.
I've never hated anything more than I hate ever have I hated that I hate Fresh Off the Boat.
I was watching Agent Carter last night. I'm like, what is this fresh hell?
They have to burn it with fire. They have to.
Fresh Off the Boat.
I have not seen it.
I kid you not, Kevin. It's about, apparently, I believe, Vietnamese immigrants coming to
this
country.
So, yes.
And do they not speak English?
No, she speaks English, but she's like shopping in this very nice supermarket. She goes, I miss the old markets back home. They made me relax. Cut to, flash, whip pan to, she's at a market and people are screaming and yelling and fighting over food. It's the exact opposite of being relaxing, Kevin. But because she's from another culture, that was relaxing for her.
So much culture shock for this family moving to America.
They sure don't understand anything about how America works. In that same said supermarket, a woman approaches her and says, have a free sample, and she's got a bowl of tortilla chips. And the mother says, oh, these are free? And she takes them, and she puts them in her basket. The whole bowl of chips! She has no idea she means just one chip is a sample! They're fresh off the boat!
Is that on yet?
No. They're just promoting it to debut this spring. But if we had suggested the show be called Fresh Off the Boat, we'd be run off the radio, too, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I am not of Asian persuasion, but I am offended for all my Asian brothers and sisters.
I am too.
And I hope they rise up with pitchforks and torches and gather outside ABC's hallowed halls.
Fresh off the boat.
Fresh off the boat.
Oh, you got to check it out, Kevin.
It may not premiere so much as Escape, I think, this series. They're fresh off the boat.
Fresh off the boat. By the way, you know who's in it is our friend from Veep and the Interview movie. He's in that, I think. Randall Park, is that his name?
Is he?
The actor that we had in recently? I think he's in that fresh off the boat, too.
Well, he needs some new management.
Let's get a message to him.
Yeah, really. Let's send him a flaming arrow shot over the wall or something. How do we get a message to him? I'm sure they've got him locked up someplace. We've got to break him out. Fresh off the boat. Today's
love it.
Celebrity birthday. Coming this fall, Chev and Bev, followed by Fresh Off the Boat.
It is the golden age of television.
It's 1-2 punch of death.
Maybe he's just going to change his name just to Hell TV.
Can we go to Jeff Garland? What's your read on Fresh Off the Boat, sir, if you've seen it?
No!
All right. Thank you.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Alan Alda, 79 years old today. Singer Sarah McLachlan is 47. Rick Ross turns 39. Joey Fatone of the NSYNC boy band, 38 years old today. Elijah Wood celebrates his 34th birthday. J. Cole, the rapper, is 30. Will Poulter, charming, talented young man from Maze Runner and We're the Millers, he's 22 years old. And actress Ariel Winter from Modern Family, she's 17. She is every bit of 17, too, by the way. She is just 12 months away from being 18.
Really 17.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beats.
Hey, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Harley from Epic Mealtime in the studio. We have Rain Wilson from his new show, Backstrom. Fresh Off the Boat.
No, Backstrom.
Backstrom.
I love Backstrom.
Rain Wilson will be in studio. I love that show, too, and he's an awesome dude. We love having him on. Jim Rome talking Super Bowl, and Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow as well.